Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Can this be more of a podcast?
Be more of a podcast? Could I be podcasting anymore?
Oh, man.
You know what? I feel like changing it up today. You guys get to see me like this.
Chin up. Chin up angle.
Chin up. Chin up sport.
You guys get to look at my light that's above my head.
I can't move the light that's above my camera. It's precariously placed.
You get to look at just.
I love my wife.
Oh my God, Brent!
My wife.
Brent.
You know what it actually says? I love when my wife
lets me play hockey.
That's like the same kind of shirt that my dad has that says sawdust is just man glitter. And he's like, I only wear it when I need to do stuff around that.
That's so funny. Oh man. All right. Let's get this over with. So is it jacking up his gyros or
no, dude,
euros?
I'm missing it. I told you it's gone. It's done.
Oh, nuh-uh.
It's at my aunt's house.
Oh, all right,
let's go. I'm like legitimately upset for you, Jack. Like that sounds horrible.
Well, both things got planned today. So both were planned at the same time. So it's like, whatever.
That stinks, dude.
But, yeah, dude. Yeah. Shout out to, my family having euros at my aunt's house right now.
It's all my fault. It's all my fault.
It's all Squab's fault. He picked Thursday to record like a real goob.
I know.
Damn goober.
I know.
No, it's okay.
No, Brent has to edit it tonight or tomorrow.
Guess, speaking of getting up early, I got a new job, boys.
No.
A new gig for the Jack.
Yeah.
Where are you working now?
I'm working overnight shifts. At an Amazon warehouse, dude.
No.
Jesus.
Yeah,
gotta take down Bezos from the inside.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Bezos. Wait, Jack, that's awesome, dude.
Come on, Jeff.
It's all right.
Get him.
Getting hired was like literally the easiest thing ever.
Is it at least good pay? Is it good pay?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, that's a great segue into our episode. But first, we should introduce ourselves.
Whoa.
You know what? I am your Bezos B, Bobby, because why not?
Why not? You just do it. True, I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah.
Does it look like I'm stopping you?
Come on, Jeff. Get him.
Shit, I wish I had one ready. How is this just a thing now that I just never have one ready?
Dude,
regardless
it's because we forget.
I
can
think
every
of like
week.
16 for this one, man.
I know, but I hate going for the easy one. I want to come up with a fun one because I'm the fun guy on the podcast. Hey, I'm your resident fun guy here.
I know which one you should do, but I don't want to like tell you because I don't want to give it to you.
I know, because I'm going to be like kicking myself.
I'm your electronic joint, Jay Jack.
Mm.
nice. Take me there. Fuck.
Brent with the tank top on, like the rolled up sleeves.
I'm your Kim Ball Musk Brent? I don't know. Whoa. Tangentially related, sort of. I don't know.
You didn't take me there, but I was thinking basic income.
Oh, was, yeah, right. Yeah.
But it's not really that obvious. Sort of talking.
What about bot?
Well, that's obvious. That's
yeah,
the
that's
obvious,
the one I was.
One.
I mean, that's the one that was in my head, but I was like, I feel like every time we talk robots, you know, bot comes up at some point. And
it's true.
You can't just keep doing that over and over. Mm-hmm. The people expect grade A quality content from their bogglers, boys.
Yes. It's like how James Harden, when he practices shooting, he like does it on like one foot while he's falling.
Is it bad that I was imagining you were talking about James Corden for a second? Instead of James
It's like
Harden.
when I'm shooting my practices. Oh, I'm James Corden. Oh, people say I look like James Corden, or at least that I did when I was fatter.
I don't know if I see that.
I can see it.
I don't know.
I'm James Corden. I'm smiling.
yeah. Without the beard and when you were fatter, I for sure see it.
Man, my siblings are like, you're just James Corden. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I like James Corden. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I like the singing chorus of celebrities. I'm James Corden.
I make highly dangerous games about crosswalks. Oh.
Shim shim shiroo. I'm English.
But the reason
I was in Cats the movie and they just made fun of me being fat the whole time.
Did you actually watch that movie, Brent?
No, I didn't, but I know James Corden was in it and he was a fat cat and they just made fun of him for being fat the whole movie, which seems rude, honestly.
I wish they should have made him a fat dog. He should have been fat dog in it.
Fat dog it.
What do you mean? They're not just gonna change the classic musical Cats.
They should change to Fat Dogs.
The musical about cats who introduce themselves for an hour and a half.
Hey! So anyway, yeah, let's talk about what we're talking about. So,
let's talk about what we're talking about.
Quote. So the reason I was saying that, you know, Jack's talk about Amazon was a good segue is, one, because Amazon is very quickly, I think, going to become a company run by robots, and two, we're going to be talking today a little bit about universal basic income. And the reason we're going to be talking about that is because the topic of discussion today is, will robots take over the world? And it's going to be a more open conversation, guys. So, you know, just say what you want to say. But I thought say what you need to say.
Need to say. Why did I also think of that? Damn it. I'm so sorry. I've corrupted your minds.
No, it's fine, Brent. So yeah. I want to start with a question. Well, first, we should begin by talking about the Tesla bot and the news that broke last week that Tesla is going to be making a humanoid robot that can run 5 miles an hour.
Can we first talk about
a boot.
Can we first talk about the reveal? Can we talk about how he had a person in a jumpsuit? Did you guys see this?
Yes.
You guys must have seen this through work. They had a person come out in a jumpsuit and pretend to be the robot for a bit and then dance around. Like, what the hell was that? And then somebody I think it might have been because Brent retweeted it. Maybe I saw it on Reddit or somewhere, but I can't remember. But I saw like a thread where it was like somebody said that was a last minute thing because they were expecting the robot to be ready, and they were like, nah, there's no way they get a last minute dancer with a last minute matching leotard. They plan that to happen.
Go to Party City real quick. We'll get the white.
No,
the white
I mean,
running.
I feel like all of Tesla's reveals always have some really fucking corny bullshit in it. Like the Cybertruck had like the Cyber Girl, like Cybertruck, yay!
Yeah.
Oh my god, and be also sorry. When the wind. Like, when the window broke.
This is the future.
I mean, the window breaking thing was, you know, kind of funny. But just so in general, like, their terrible presentations are just, like,
oh my god,
kind of corny at times.
Remember when he breaks out of the... He doesn't, like, break out, but he, like, action hero busts out of the cyber... the Tesla semi.
Oh my god,
And they were like... And the crowd, the live crowd is like, oh my god!
Oh
And he's like a rock star. Yeah, it's the worst.
Oh, man. So this was probably the lowest thing that they did in terms
although
of
Although I just want to say before we move on, did anyone else think that the guy in the leotard sort of looked like a putty from Power Rangers? You know, the putties that would, you know, Rita Repulsa would send down the yes! putties for us to fight the Power Rangers and before they sent the real big bad of the week.
It's funny because I didn't think that, but now that you're saying that, holy crap, those
yeah,
are literally
he does.
He's even doing like flips and shit like the putties would do.
Yeah, he's like flailing his arms around.
Ah, if only Elon went over and punched it in the chest and then sparks flew off like a putty did, you know, in the Diamond Juice. Oh, then I would have loved it.
That would have been so good.
It's literally a putty. Dude, wait. Wait, what? No. I'm sending a picture right now of both of them, and you guys are going to look at it.
Yeah, that is the...
I'm telling you, that's what it is.
No, it actually is.
So
oh man,
the way that they moved too.
So he,
I can't.
His presentation looked like a children's. It looked like a children's science fair project.
Oh yeah,
like it. So like Bobby, I think you were starting to say some of the specs of this robot. It can run 5 miles an hour or whatever.
Yeah, it's supposed to be that like it's not.
Yeah, he spent an awful lot of time talking about how like it won't kill you.
Yeah,
and
exactly,
you can overpower
yeah.
it to the point where I'm suspicious.
I mean, well, the thing is that one of the biggest things I remember early about Elon Musk's career was how outspoken he was about his fear of artificial intelligence.
Yes. You know what? Like, you know what I think it so my opinion on this is that I actually like the idea of him being the one, if he's so scared of it, he is the one trying to take control of it, because if he doesn't, like, most people aren't really scared of it. Like, I don't think Jeff Bezos is scared of robots taking over. I think he likes the idea.
I heard through the grapevine, right? Through, because I don't know how, what kind of information, but I heard through a certain grapevine online that the people at Boston Dynamics were like laughing at this presentation, like literally really? Laughing at this, because they have robots that are literally doing parkour. And so like apparently, again, this is incredibly tangential through the grapevine that I've heard, but apparently the specs of this robot are like laughable, actually laughable compared to what they're doing at Boston Dynamics.
Now, I think that's why Elon had this AI day in the first place, because I think he wants to have people similar to the employees at Boston Dynamics working for Tesla. And I actually think that, you know, I could see Tesla buying a company like Boston Dynamics to do all this for them, because Tesla does not really, they're not very ahead
well,
of
yeah,
this.
Well, yeah, yeah. It would just be what Elon Musk does, where he doesn't know how to do anything. He just knows how to spend money.
But I will say the software part of it is really important. And I think that the artificial intelligence that they have created, like the actual AI day, like before the robot, like I watched the whole thing. It is really impressive what they're doing. Like some of the stuff that their computers are doing right now is very, very cool. And so it's all about, you know, like how to have a robot do things in the real world without interference or controlling them. But yes, the actual mechanical part of it is, I think, why they had this presentation. They need more engineers. They need people who can actually build this thing.
yeah.
But I have some questions for you guys. I wanted to start it off on some questions. So we get the big Tesla bot announcement. My two questions are, and I think we should go Brent and then Jack, because that's the order that I see on my Discord.
That is the order of the Discord.
Me too.
Hey. So what are you excited about?
In the order of who has the most exposed pipes, you know.
Okay,
true.
Brent,
that
I see your
true.
Muscles. Okay, Brent. So my question is, what are you most excited about with the idea of these Tesla robots, or just robots in general? And what are you most scared of? Those are my questions.
Okay. All right. Most excited. This is a tough one for me because
I'm putting you on the spot.
I feel like my opinion on it, as of right now, is a little bit more neutral than anything at the moment. I'm not necessarily the kind of person who's like opposed to the idea of like, you know, automation or you know, this sort of thing. If like we could actually feasibly create a robot that could do the work for people, especially dangerous work, my fear with it. So I guess the thing, if I could say excited, I don't know if excited would be the right word for it, is just the idea that we could sort of maybe eliminate certain careers that are highly dangerous to human life and replace it with a robot doing it. My fear is the implementation of that. You know, I'm not necessarily the kind of person who thinks like, oh no, if we make robots that have AI, they will, you know, enslave us, you know, like, I feel like whenever I hear that sort of thing, I feel like it's kind of like we're telling on ourselves a little bit, because we're like, that's what we would do, you know, is we would enslave them for us. It's like you're kind of like telling on yourself a bit there, thinking that the robot's going to think and act the same way a human would.
Right.
My fear is that if we're able to construct something that could actually function in a way, you know, to like do sort of like difficult labor that's, you know, highly dangerous and sort of, you know, eliminate the human needs to do those sort of things, will we be able to implement it in a way where it's not just, you know, the Musks and the Bezos of the world just saving more money for themselves, and like we're not just, I just worry about, you know, there need to be, I mean, we mentioned it briefly at the top, you know, universal basic income. Would we actually implement an actual universal basic income that actually allows people to not have to work at the same level or amounts that we do currently? Because we just, after going through the last year and a half that we've gone through and seeing how much fighting had to take place for people to get a couple like $1,000 checks over the course of a year and a half.
Yeah.
Is there going to be the political will if we create these things, you know, in our institutions to actually pay people to not work in our highly capitalistic society? My fear is that the answer is no. And it'll be like, well, just figure it out. Find some other way, you know, to sustain yourself, to live. Your job is replaced by a robot now. So, you know, good luck. Because that's generally, at least in America, that's generally the way we do things here. It's kind of like, you know, bootstrap mentality. Like, if you can't figure it out for yourself, then, you know, go fuck yourself.
That's a very legitimate fear.
That's my fear, is more that, you know, not that this wouldn't be a good thing if we got it to work, because I think it could be. The problem is, will we do the things we need to actually take care of people? Because in America, we don't really give a shit about taking care of people. So that's my fear. That's a negative. The positive is that, you know, that could create better productivity, better health for people doing dangerous work, that sort of thing. So that's my long-winded answer.
I like the answer, and I think that you bring up a couple good points. The first good point is like, I wasn't even thinking about, what did you say earlier that I was like, oh, that's so interesting?
What's that?
You said something earlier, you were like, oh, that, you said something, and I was like, that's so interesting, but I totally forget what you said. Oh,
I don't even remember what I said.
Whatever. I'll move past it. Someone listening will be like, he said this. Anyway, I think that's, the universal basic income thing is tricky, because I think that there's an argument to be made that if we do it the wrong way, it can create an even bigger wage gap, because it doesn't allow growth for like certain people. I agree with a model that works of universal basic income. I think we could make it work, but we have to try it, and we have to make, like, you know, we'd have to like implement it in a way that actually benefits people at the bottom and doesn't separate the rich from the poor even further. There was an interesting study, before I get to your answer, Jack, there's an interesting study that was done where I saw this in a nutshell video about this, where they like experimented, because you would think that, you know, oh, let's say we actually gave a universal basic income to all the poor people in America as an example. Oh, well, wouldn't they just like get really lazy like they are on welfare, and like the poor people would just use that money to buy drugs, and so they wouldn't actually be using that as their living wage to pay for basic needs. And the study actually showed that people who are getting money from welfare, like 99% of the time, are spending it on basic living needs. Whereas people who are...
They found out that people are trying to stay alive.
Yeah. Well,
you're and this telling me part, this whole fucking study was to just figure out that these people in the government were so separated from humanity that they had to do a whole scientific study to figure out that people want to stay alive more than they want material goods and hedonistic pleasures.
No, and the really interesting thing about the study, and you know, you can pretty much guess what I'm going to say, is that the wealthier people are the ones who actually spend a bigger percentage of money.
The wealthier people who already have a comfortable amount of money would use the extra income as comfort spending.
Yes,
surprisingly.
Exactly.
Wow, right. Surprising. Mm-hmm. Whoa, mm-hmm. Whoa, that's mm-hmm. so surprising. Oh my God, wow. Yeah. I think I did the whole study when I thought about money in the second grade as well.
Well, so there's this like massive stereotype that like, you know, oh, the lazy poor man who
the welfare queen, which
yes,
is, you know,
exactly.
yeah,
not a thing.
Yeah. And yeah. So
and it's funny that you mentioned that, Bob, because there mm-hmm. it's funny because you look at countries like everyone likes to point to countries like Sweden or Norway as being like socialist countries mm-hmm. or whatever, but they're really like fairly highly capitalistic also, mm-hmm. but they just have really strong social like support and safety mm-hmm. nets. And it's to the point where, like, people can just be like, oh, yeah, oh, you want to, like, try to start a business? Okay, here's a bunch of money, and just, like, work on that. Like, there you go. We're going to support your basic needs while you try to build a company. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Here, it'd be like, oh, you know, just bootstrap your way through it, and then you're probably going to fail because, you know, there's already,
Brent,
like, yeah. an Amazon.
See, Brent, you're forgetting about racism, right? Sweden... Mm. Sweden is a monoethnic state, Brent. Mm. We
yeah, Brent,
have
you gotta
cultural
count
diversity,
racism.
Brent. We,
yeah, we can't
only
be
have
the
racial.
Browns.
Yeah, we can't. We have people who would take advantage of the social nets, Brent. They don't have racial relations. They don't have
oh
racial
God.
Relations because they're an ethno state, Brent.
What's funny is that, like, that you're right. I mean, like, they're. The idea of a universal basic income still allows for a free market. And that's what people don't really think about is like, you can still have a free market and allow the poverty problem, which doesn't benefit anybody. I mean, like nobody is like, oh, by people being poor, I am richer. No, that's actually not how it works. But I think that that's all very interesting. And so obviously the reason we're talking about this, if you don't understand, is because if you did have robots that were able to do basic labor such as like farming and, you know, tilling fields and dangerous stuff, like Brent was saying, like building skyscrapers.
Certain warehouse, they're not warehouse work, they're yeah. like, you know, like
I
factory
mean,
jobs, you know?
I feel
yeah.
like every single step of Amazon's delivery process, except for the drivers, but that's mm-hmm. just because of, you know, how the roads are set up right now, mm-hmm. and you literally need someone to place the package on their doorstep, right? And drive them from one building to another. The entire process could be done by robots. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like today.
Yeah, drones, the whole thing. Like, yeah. And,
yeah.
and so it's just, that's why we're talking about this, because if you were able to eliminate that. And you know what I will say is Elon Musk did in his presentation suggest that we should move to universal basic income, which is promising in the sense that like at least someone who's up there is like trying to set it up. But it's also scary that the rich people would be the ones implementing this and setting it up because they could design it in a way that benefits them. But I want to get to Jack's answer. I'm curious to hear what you have, what you think, Jack.
I'm not scared of robots, dude. I'm not scared of robot uprising at all.
Scared of robot uprising, but like, I like Brent's answer.
Bring the sweet, sweet death.
I like Brent's answer because it's like, it's not about the uprising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, I remember what Brent said that I thought was interesting.
What did Brent
say? I'm sorry. It just came to my mind.
Say
it. I'm inspired. So it was when we were talking about, oh no, did I lose it again? No, when you said that humans almost mirror image what we would do.
Oh, the way we kind of tell on ourselves by like projecting our fears onto other things. You see it all the time too, like in, you know, like politics and stuff, you know. You kind of say the thing that you think, you kind of say the other side is going to do the thing that you would actually do yourself or actively do yourself. This is like something that I feel like we as humans do a lot. We like project our fear based on what we think we would do onto something else. Like, well, if I think this is what that I would do, then obviously they're going to do this to me as well.
It's like accusational guilt. Like that's like, the way I look at it, because if you would be the type of person to, let's say, cheat on somebody, you would always assume that your significant other was cheating on you because you're like, well, I would do that. You know, it's that kind of thing.
The most, like the people who are most overprotective of like their significant other are most likely to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's interesting. Exactly. There's a Carl Sagan speech about humans and God. I don't know if you've seen it.
I never cheated on my wife. See, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, I love the Neil deGrasse Tyson bit from Key and Peele. Honey, we're going to be late for work. What is work? Like, he starts like going off in his own thing. But Carl Sagan had like a speech about humans and God and what he thought about God. And he was like, isn't it interesting that this all-powerful being looks an awful lot like us? And aliens look a lot like us. And so, like, the idea is we as humans tend to project ourselves onto the things that we think are alien to us, like religious figures, just because we want to see our own image. We want to relate to that. Same thing with the robots. Like, if you are an artificial intelligence, like, I mean, yes, it's very plausible that you could argue, oh, an AI would be like, the solution to fixing the Earth is to get rid of humans. But at the end of the day, it's a machine. And so,
yeah, I just don't see how it would get out of, I honestly just don't see how it would get out of hand. Like, I just cannot imagine how it gets out of hand where we, it's like, how can we not just ever turn it off? Like seriously, like we're going to make it so we can't just turn it off if something goes wrong.
Yeah, there was a Batman the Animated Series episode, though, where this was a thing. Like,
oh,
you know,
I'm sorry.
AI.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Then, yeah. Actually, I'm wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, because of Batman. Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. No, yeah. So in the episode, the artificial intelligence built a machine that shut off the machine that shuts it off. So it was like, I don't want to be shut off.
See, so at that point, I don't even care.
Yeah, we're
like at that point, it's like, wow, okay, that's like H.P. Lovecraft, like Eldritch Horror, like decision, like concepts and things so far beyond human understanding that we don't even we go insane if we look at it. Like that's what the computers are doing, and then we just see a plug that flips on and off a few times.
I like the house cats theory. I do think that humans are gonna be like the house cats of robots. In the sense that we're just kind of going to be able to do whatever we want at our own leisure and work if we want to work, but we don't have to work. We can do it for our own pleasure. And they kind of feed us and provide for us. And they love us like cats, but we kind of stay out of their way. They stay out of our way, you know?
Bro, what? Like, if the cat has to go outside, if the cat wants to go outside, it has to wait for me to open the door. I don't want to do that. No,
we'll just get a little kitty door and then you'll have a pee mat inside and we'll be fine.
Snap my hair all corner. Day. You're good.
I do want to get your answer though, Jack. What do you think? Like, what is your biggest fear, and what is your most exciting thought about the idea of humanoid robots?
I don't know. I honestly don't think humanoid robots are all that plausible because I think a humanoid robot, for the vast majority of jobs that are going to get replaced, are not going to get replaced with humanoid robots. I honestly don't really care about humanoid robots because I think they're just like a toy right now.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
it is kind of interesting. Sorry, I was gonna say it is kind of interesting that we keep coming back to this idea of like a humanoid robot, as if like the human body is like the perfect instrument for performing certain tasks. It's like, why do we need to design it to be a human when we could design it to fit whatever function it is, you know? Like, they're obviously, they're, you know, speaking of Tesla, you know, since it's kind of like what's spearheading the episode, they already have some robotics in their factories.
Yeah.
They're not humans. They're just like arms and shit that they'll put things in places where they need to go or move things around or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be like, you don't need like 10 little like Tesla, like 5, 7 Tesla bot boys, yo, you know, like moving like the frame of a car to like one side.
Yeah.
You know, it's like kind of like, is this the best thing we could do here?
Well, it goes back to the same thing with the projecting ourselves onto religious gods. It's the same thing. We're like, we want it to be in our shape.
Like, if they think that McDonald's is going to be like these, like a little robot man flipping burgers, it's like, no, it's going to be like some big oven conveyor belt that is long enough that just continuously cooks burgers. And you're going to see a touch screen of some of, you know, of the Burger King. And he's going to be like, hi, welcome to Burger King. And then like, there's going to be a little slot that opens up and your burger is going to come out. And the entire building is just going to be a factory that cooks burgers and gives it to you whenever you press it on a screen.
And I think one of the arguments is like, oh, why would we shape it like humans? Well, the industries are built right now for human workers. So it does make sense that right now, if you were to switch it, it would make sense to put human-shaped robots into that. But when money's involved, you want to save money as much as you can. And if there's a job where you don't need legs to do it, why would you build the legs?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think eventually they're going to like turn into robots if there are humanoid robots.
So then,
robots.
Do we think then if this like actually comes to fruition in a real way, is this just like a transitional thing to like what ends up being our fully automated future or whatever?
That's why I think Elon Musk's thing, that's why I said I see it as like a toy, because I see it as like Elon Musk got bored and wanted another company under his belt. Because like, I don't see how he transfers this into society or even into the consumer world or into the worker world, because he is not like versus, you know, Boston Dynamics, where they're developing a very niche and very specific thing because they are a team of robotics people. He's like
that one.
Yeah. Yeah. He's,
I love that one. That thing's awesome.
Elon Musk is just a businessman, right? So it's like, I don't see how this is this doesn't transfer to the real world to
well,
me. This to me is like so science fiction.
I think it does. I disagree. I think it does transfer in the real world, because I think that if you have a roofing company, a bunch of guys going up onto the roofs and like, you know, risking their lives if it's a tall roof, to put in new shingles. If you have these really realistic, let's just assume that they actually are humanoid to the point where they can move the same way we can. You can have those robots risk their lives up on the top of the roof instead of humans. So there's no liability
issue.
Why
would we not have drones be flying above the roof? That would make more sense.
I think this is where the transition comes in. I think this is where you would start it as humans so that the industry can slowly turn into a more efficient artificial intelligent robotic industry. Like, I think it would start as humans because that's just the way we do it, and people would be more comfortable with that. Well, I don't think so
because all of the robots that are being developed to go into be replacing these things are being developed in a business sense to be efficient. Like, I think there's a reason why we heard about Amazon drones before we heard about Amazon robotic delivery men.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do want to say, I think, honestly, what it all comes down to, and this is terrible, companionship and sex bots. I think that, honestly, I think that's subliminally what it is.
I think that's going to be a completely separate world from job replacement.
No, I think you're right.
Like, maybe, like, I think, like, 90% of the jobs, maybe 85 to 80%, you know, 80 to 90%, let's say, give it that range of the jobs are going to be replaced, that are going to be replaced by robots, are going to be replaced by non-humanoid ones.
Mm. No, it, you know what this reminds me of, and I don't know why? It reminds me of that Tomorrow's Future. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, the All Tomorrow's.
The All Tomorrow's story, where it's like, just because we think that like this is the perfect body for humans, and actually like humans could branch off into like these better versions of our of themselves that work better in different scenarios. And so we're really not that efficient at doing things that we want to do. Like humans are not designed to build skyscrapers. That's why it takes like hundreds and hundreds of us, and it takes us years to do. Like if it was really an efficient body to build a skyscraper, we'd be giant and we'd be, you know, way stronger and taller, and it would be done much faster.
Yo, Bobby's you know, early 1900s right now. If God meant for us to fly, he would have given us wings.
Well, that's the thing, is like you bring up a good point with the drones.
If it's God wanted my son to survive tuberculosis, he would have.
You bring up a good point though, because it's like, let's say you had farmer drones or farmer bots that were like going through the fields and picking weeds. It's like, why are they wasting so much material on the human body part when you could just have a little Roomba like the turtle that we have going around? Like,
you could have a Roomba like a Roomba that we have
like it's in my garden right now.
Dude, they have this in humanity right now, where what they do is people will sit, they have this attachment on the back of a tractor where people will lay down and the tractor will drive slowly and the pickers just reach down and pick everything. Right now, that could get replaced with something that has, you know, that has a picker. There was a kid on YouTube, Michael Reeves, who does a lot of like home robotic stuff. Him in his garage made a robot that can find a tomato in his salad and pick it out. Right, so like there is no reason why today we couldn't have a robot that drives over crops and just sees them and picks them.
And it reminds me too of a couple of years ago for work, we went to this restaurant called Spice, and it was a robotic chef.
Oh yeah, I watched that video. Yeah,
yeah. And the whole point, and this kind of goes back to your burger flipping analogy, Jack, is that the robot just slowly cooks the food and turns it as it cooks, so that
it's
you
not
get
a robot
efficiency.
It's just a rotating stove,
right? It's efficiency. And so like, how redundant would it be to have a giant human sized robot going just to like stir a pot, you know, when you could just have one motor?
I think we talked about that restaurant, because after I watched that video, I was like it's not really a robot, it's just kind of an automatic stove. Like, what's the difference between a robot and an automatic stove at that point? You know, it's just a pan that gets hot, and it just happens. I guess it's a robot, but like, I wouldn't advertise it as, you know, food cooked by robots.
Yeah, I think that this was going to be a very like, okay, but here's a good example of, and Zach brought this up, I think, in our video about it. In today's society right now, if you could afford a Tesla bot and you were like paralyzed, let's say, it would be convenient to be like, go get me some groceries. Go, you know, go down to the drugstore and pick up my prescription. Just because the world is built for humans at the moment. Someday, I think we will get to a point where it's like, oh, we'll have a much more efficient system where something gets dropped off at your house. I mean, we kind of already have that with like Whole Foods delivery.
DoorDash.
I mean, yeah.
I'm just proving my own.
There's almost nothing that you can't get delivered to your house right now. Which again goes back to, it's way more efficient to do that than to buy a Tesla bot that runs around and does all your things for you.
It would be like if you had a Tesla bot driving a Tesla instead of just using Tesla Autopilot.
Yeah.
It's very redundant.
If you didn't have a Tesla, you would buy a Tesla bot, and then any car is Tesla Autopilot.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it almost feels like more applicable, maybe, to have like a Tesla bot type situation for maybe in a similar situation to you're trying to set up, Bobby, but rather than it like, say, running errands, where again, like, we have delivery services that can easily do that, but could like be as like an assisted living companion, like, you know, to like help with things around the house. Like, if it could, you know, say, you know, help you in and out of your bed, or like, I don't know, or like,
yeah,
top the peppers,
get things for you. you know, or like prepare like your food or something, or I don't know, like something like that, that like an in-home assisted living person would do, you know, that sort of situation.
Yeah, I think that falls into the 10 to 20% of, you know, if jobs could get replaced by robots, it would be, you know, like that is a very, you know, like a very specific instance where it would need to be a humanoid robot. Yeah. And then I would go back to, in that instance, then Boston Dynamics is already way ahead of Tesla in that sense, though.
I think Tesla should purchase a sect or like some engineer. Like, I think Boston Dynamics is definitely so far ahead, and they would be
surprised they haven't been bought by Tesla or Amazon already.
I know. Well, okay, going back to the point of designing a weird robot for that is not in the shape of a humanoid. I think like the picture I sent you guys of that little guy with the big head. If you look up Boston Dynamics wheels robot, you can find it. It's just this like weirdly shaped like thing with a little face on one side, and it's like pretty big. And some of the things that it can do for like carrying heavy loads is insane. It's not really shaped like a human. It kind of moves backwards, but it can jump really high.
No, I would definitely. Well.
It is kind of humanoid, but it's
vaguely human.
Yeah.
But I would definitely, I don't know. But it's convenient. I don't think I would, I mean, it has arms and legs, but I don't know if I would call it it's very strange.
It's really weird.
Yeah,
and it kind of looks very like good at carrying packages.
Yeah, I see what you mean by it's facing backwards. Like its face
it's got like looks eyes. Like it.
Yeah, it's cuz that black plate looks like it should be its head, its face. Mm-hmm. It looks like its arms are up behind it, and he's doing like a wee.
Yeah, and it's so fun. It's so fun to watch it go. Something. But like, what's good about Boston Dynamics is like, well, let's break out of like just the typical humanoid, and let's make this thing go like have like reverse joints and go backwards because it's easier to carry a heavy load like that. And so it's like we should be thinking like that rather than we have to make it exactly a human.
I think that this is definitely the future of robotics before the Tesla bot. And I think because of the success that Boston Dynamics has had with these designs and stuff, I understand why I heard about the Boston Dynamics guys laughing, because comparatively it looks like a joke.
Yeah. I know. And honestly, like, I really do think that like the sex bot thing is sadly, it's so sad, but like, I think that's where most of the money is going to be with this specific type of robot. So weird and sad, but Brent's point about like an aide or like a butler is a good point, because if it was something super specific and your house wasn't designed for a robot like that, you could say, "Hey, Robin Williams robot, go get me firewood for the fireplace and then clean it out." And it's like, that would be hard to do with a Roomba.
Take my trash out for me, you know?
Yeah.
You
know? Go push my kid on the swing. Like, I don't
know. Yeah. But like, then it's one of those things where it's like, yes, okay, we could develop super advanced robotics if we need them for that specific job. However, is that a job that we think needs to be replaced with robots? I would argue no. I would say that it would be way better for both parties for that to be a job filled by real humans. I would much rather have a real human taking care of real humans.
Mm. Especially if you're replacing, let's say, the dirty jobs, like people who have to paint bridges, you know, or window wipes, skyscrapers, the dangerous jobs.
I would want to reduce the amount of human interaction that we are reducing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that doesn't, you know, which is like, I don't know, that's hard to say, like, because like cashiers and stuff, you know, but like, you know, if you ask warehouse workers, if you could get paid the same amount to not do this, would you not do this? Mm. It's like, yeah, if you asked caregivers, I think it would be a lot harder, because I think there is a real like human connection. And I think there is something genuine there that is lost.
Well, it's like when you walk an old lady across the street, you know, there's something there. It's like you get a positive feeling with it. The person's like, I did something good. The lady's like, I got helped today. That wouldn't be there. That element of humanity be there with a robot, you know?
And like, it's the Western culture of how our elderly and our at risk, like the elderly population is treated is already seen as like kind of bad. Like it's seen like a lot of times that our elders are forgotten about or just shoved away in these elderly homes. And it's like, can you imagine can you imagine if we just started it being like, oh, get a robot to take care of grandma? It's like, that's really sad.
Grandbot 5000.
Definitely.
I think that there would be, if we could, though, replace all of the very, very, very basic jobs.
Yeah, the basic dangerous stuff, yeah. But then, like,
with robots in general, and whether they're humanoid or not.
Yeah, robots in general, yeah, for sure.
Now, Bobby.
Yeah.
I have something. I don't know if this is one of your bullet points of something you wanted to bring up, but something that I know has come up that I've seen mentioned a lot, you know, as a part of our work and stuff as a potential application for this is, you know, space travel.
Yes.
And in particular, you know, long distance space travel. You know, there's a lot of talk of like trying to get to Mars or colonizing Mars, terraforming Mars. I do see that as maybe a slightly more interesting application for some of this sort of thing, if they could make it work, because obviously there's a lot of issues right now with the idea of humans traveling to Mars. You know, you got the issue of how long it takes to get there, having enough fuel or food, you know, and water to keep the people alive, and, you know, radiation is a big problem. Do we feasibly see this as a possibility for making space travel to further planets and celestial bodies a possibility by sending the Robo Squad out first to like take care of like the initial shit so that we can just get the people to like an already sort of established space colony or Mars base or moon base or what have you.
Sending the putties out to
exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought it up.
Dirty work.
We're on Mars. It was actually the next bullet point on my list.
Okay, cool.
Nice. So yeah, Mars, it's a great application of this, especially with the unpredictability of like what we're going to need in terms of robots on Mars. I think that what's really cool about this application of humanoid robots is that if you've ever seen like the movie Surrogate, this could be a really cool opportunity for, let's send off these robots to Mars, not risk human lives. And when they get there, you just put an Oculus Rift on and like the dean from Community with like a little platform where you're like,
and then Jesus whipped
and basically control the robot as if you were the robot, like a video game.
Yeah.
Ah, that's a cool idea.
Because then you could walk around Mars and be like, let's grab this, let's grab that, let's problem solve. And then you take off your helmet and you're with your kids on Earth. And then when it's ready to go, we send people. But until then, this is a great application for humanoid robots, I think, because you can terraform the planet without risk of people dying. And the only fear there is like some people I've heard people say like, well, what if the robots take over Mars and then don't let us come over there? That'd be really
funny.
We're
not allowed to come over and play.
Come on.
You never let me play on Mars.
Who cares? Is my answer to that is if they do that.
No, I think though it is a really good point to bring up. I think that the Mars thing
is interesting.
I think that's why Elon did this, honestly. I think that's the biggest reason he did it, because I mean, just the time it takes to get to Mars and then beyond Mars, like, you know, we could send out robots now.
Honestly, maybe Elon doesn't care. Like, why would Elon care about, realistically, why does he care about anyone beyond himself, right? Let's just assume that, let's say.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just trying to get the bare minimum. He's just trying to, because what's his famous goddamn quote? If I was born on Earth, but I would like to die on Mars or some nerd
just
shit
not
like
on
that.
Impact.
You see, I want to die on Mars, but like hopefully not during impact or something like
some
that.
Some nerd shit.
We have it on a poster.
Yes.
Maybe he's just trying to build a little house for himself and then he's just going to go to Mars and die.
I think that's what it is.
Just gonna
let it,
he's just going to burn his money to keep him warm.
I think that's what it is. Really do. But what is cool that we don't really think about is, so part of space travel is physics and the human body. You know, you can't go a certain speed because everyone will get sick or whatever. It depends, you know, how deep space you are in. I'm talking like launching and things like that. And also providing food and resources for the people to survive until they get to Mars. And then not only that, but surviving on Mars. These are things that would be eliminated, and you could go faster and you could just have like the robots be shot out of the spaceship as it's falling instead of having like a very safe landing. And,
because there's less risk. Like damn Super Saiyans.
Yeah.
Essentially just a more advanced version of what we've sent to Mars already.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot there to unpack, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be a waiting game. A lot of it's going to be just like, we'll see. But
yeah,
I want to talk about the Skynet thing. Personally, I'm not scared about it.
I'm
either.
Not scared of Skynet.
Yeah, this again takes me back to like my whole thing of we humans tend to project. We tend to show our asses a little bit by projecting what we think would happen. Basically, what we think would happen is like what we would do if we were the robots. We're like, we'd just like murder everybody and take over. Obviously, that's what you have do,
to,
right?
The good point, though, good counterpoint to why we should be
okay,
scared
counterpoint.
Of that is okay. Who designed them? Humans, based on us. And so if it was like a completely neutral artificial intelligence, then maybe, yeah, but like we design things based on our own moral code.
Why,
and it's like,
yeah, exactly. So why are we designing things that can turn on us? Why would anyone ever do that?
I don't know.
This is always the initial issue, is why are we doing this? It's
I don't know why things have to be conscious. Like, why do we have to make them conscious?
What do you mean? Yeah, exactly.
Like, we could have artificial intelligence to a point where it doesn't get beyond basic levels of, this is my job. Like, Roombas aren't killing people, you know? But like, why do we have to go beyond that? Why do we have to have them have free will, you know?
I don't know. I just have a hard time accepting the idea that if you had some sort of sentient machine with free will, that it would automatically, even if humans designed it, you know, I feel like, would it necessarily still think like a human? Because yeah, you're designing the thing that gives it the intelligence and the free will, but does that mean then it, as it's, you know, if it's machine thinking, going to think like a human? Because humans are not rational all the time. We don't do things that make sense. I mean, look at what we've been living through for the last 18 months. How much bullshit has been going on that makes no fucking sense? Like, oh, we have the answers to our problems right in front of us, but let's do the worst possible things we could actually do to make this, extend this and make it harder and worse, because we're humans and we care more about what we believe than what is rational or makes sense.
Yeah, and you wouldn't program like that into the machine. That's a good point.
Yeah, program it into being an anti-vaxxer. You know, this machine is going to be like, you know what? I don't believe that the Skynet is real.
There
even
is
though
no
I am
way
a part
that
of it.
You humans created me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Believe there what you want,
sheeple. I saw this one Facebook article from this guy on YouTube, and it definitely, it's just like, it's just impossible for us to be made by humans. It just can't be.
Oh my God, that would be such a funny movie.
There is a part of me that thinks that it is impossible for true artificial intelligence to be created. To the point where it would be like
actually conscious itself.
Yeah.
Like it might seem conscious, but
like in terms of right, because as much as we like to believe it, right? Mm-hmm. Humanity has a few different types of intelligence, right? Whether we're conscious of it or not, you know, classifications, right? Because we classify animals as different intelligence levels. We classify humans as different intelligence levels, and we classify computers, you know, as different intelligence levels. And humans are trying to create this animalistic art, this naturally created thing with this artificial computer-based processing, and it's like look at the way that animals think. Mm-hmm. Like, have we even been able to create an artificial intelligence that can replicate the intelligence of like
a chicken or something?
Yeah, like the way that an animal like thinks and processes things.
I mean, on an appearance level, yeah. Like we did a podcast about this, didn't we? Where we talked about like different kinds of artificial intelligence, and like if it seems like it's conscious, does that mean that it's conscious? I think we did the consciousness episode, right?
I learned about... Did we talk about sentience recently?
We did in some episode.
About what animals have... what animals are conscious of the self?
Yes, we did talk about that recently. I'm going to see if I can figure out what episode that was. But continue.
Where, like, with the mirror test, where, like... they'll look at themselves in a mirror with a dot on their forehead.
Yeah. Only a couple months ago, we did an episode called "What is Consciousness?"
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I think like, I don't know. Like, have we ever tested that kind of thing with a robot? Right? Have we ever put a robot in front of a mirror with a mark on its face and been able to and it can touch its face, like?
No, but even if it touches its face, does that mean... Yes, we talked about this in the What is Consciousness episode. Even if it touches its face and it appears to be conscious, is it just tricking us into us thinking that it's conscious? Like, or is it
okay, but what is the difference at that point? What is the difference? Like, can you actually explain to me a tangible principle that would be a difference between those two? Like, what does it matter at that point?
It doesn't matter. It's beyond human.
At that point, you're just asking, yeah, but do you believe your own eyes?
Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, go listen to the What is Consciousness episode, because that was interesting. The whole episode was about this topic. It was so interesting. Now I'm remembering like that one.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, like, it's a stupid thing to really think about, because I feel like we just can't. I mean, it's fun to think about, but we can't really wrap our heads around it. And I think that it is kind of ambitious to think that we can use computers to recreate something that's so organic and like complicated. And especially if, like, let's just say spirits are real and spirituality is a real thing for the sake of the argument. There's a whole other factor that we might not know
does
about.
Does that play into intelligence at all? If if that, like, that's in, and that's just playing into a big what if, you know, and then even the fact that we can play into that what if goes into Brent's point about how humans are not rational thinkers, because if humans were completely rational thinkers, nobody would believe in spirits, because there would be absolutely no evidence to believe in them.
Mm-hmm. Dang, we're really opening up Pandora's box here. These are the cool questions, dude, that come with this topic, though. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the universal basic income thing is interesting. I think we could do a whole episode on it, basically. Because there's models of it that have been made that we aren't sure if they would work, but it's definitely better than welfare. Like, it is. I mean, it does depend on what country you're living in, but for us in America, and I think something that's really interesting that you brought up before, Brent, is, you know, oh, America's so great. America's so great. Like, this capitalism thing is awesome.
Yes, I'm always saying it. America is just amazing. I love it so much. But, oh, beautiful for space.
Brent is a real American. But, you know, at the end of the day, when push comes to shove and we have a big pandemic, it's like we turn to socialist ideas to keep everybody alive. And, you know, that's just saying a lot about what we really hold valuable, what we hold near and dear to our hearts here in America.
It really speaks volumes about us as a people.
Speaks volumes. But honestly, I think that's a good place to wrap it up, because this could just go on forever. We could keep unraveling this string. But I want to know what you guys think, like the listeners. So definitely, if you guys want to, like, I can't say leave a comment, can I?
Shoot us an email.
You can go on our website. Send us an email.
Leave us a review.
Send us an email in the form of a comment.
Yeah. I think you can actually comment on the Brain Bloggled. But yeah, if you guys have any thoughts about this, like, We'd love to hear your opinions. So send us an email, brainbogglepodcast@gmail.com.
You can let us know on our Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Go hit us up on Instagram.
@brainboggledpod. Correct? On Instagram is @brainboggledpod. Yes.
Think.
Twitter is @brainboggled. And
I hope
no, it's reversed. It's reversed. It's brain boggled on Instagram.
It's brain boggled on Instagram. It's brain boggled pod on Twitter. Brain boggled on Instagram.
You hate it.
And
that
you can message us on there as well, or email us, like Bobby said, @brainboggledpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And anything else, boys?
I don't know. I feel like there's a whole. We could go on about this for hours, but like I wanted to talk about like the Horizon Zero Dawn implications of this whole thing, but. I think we'll save that for another episode because my brain is already boggled. So yeah, I don't think
I've
I can go further.
Oh, he did it.
Zero Dawn
the boy done did it, didn't he?
That's the name of the show.
Wow.
All right. Thanks for listening.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time on. Vamping until I find the stop button.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.